If the fiddle strings felt no bow stroke, if the concertina bellows broke, if no one sang or cracked a joke, then where's the good in living? For all of life plays like a tune. It sounds so sweet and ends too soon. You'd better rise and up your bow before it's time to go. If you never threw your feet about, if the Guinness boys stopped making stout, you'd forget what life is all about and soon become quite thirsty. And all of life plays like a tune. It sounds so sweet and ends too soon. You'd better rise and up your bow before it's time to go. If all you owned was hawked and pawned, all your money spent and gone, you'd find out what you've been living on and never even knew. And all of life plays like a tune. It sounds so sweet and ends too soon. You'd better rise and up your bow before it's time to go. If the fiddle strings felt no bow stroke, if the concertina bellows broke, if no one sang or cracked a joke, then where's the good in living?
Yo. Hey, folks. It's Thursday, so this must be Enemy Combatant Radio and Diamond Dave. We got live music. We got poets. We got reminiscences. We got it. We got that common thread we're putting out there around the planet. And first, this has been our want for the past few weeks. Our poet in exile, our expatriate, but who's coming back. I'm talking about my brother Ed Bowers, is on the cell phone, so it's going to be a little rattly, but let me tell you this, especially if you've been listening, and if you take it from me, his poetry is well worth it. So, hey, Ed, well, welcome back to Enemy Combatant Radio. What do you got for us today?
This is called Verdict. Give me a magic word. I'm lonely.
The blues is dead. Tools and music with battery backup. Everyone has a plug. To keep your mind at regal ease, the elegant misty lights have been replaced with promiscuous ambient noise, a lucrative criminal trade, and instantly popular songs occupying the inside of a solitary atom swimming within the gene pool of a dysfunctional family of plasma babies. Jumping to their deaths from the ninth floor of a Manhattan apartment building comprised of words written in the Wall Street Journal, nickels and dimes falling from depressed pants. Official associations have been emboldening customers of doctors who see no overall improvement in human brain function to advance lethal injection techniques. At long last, there is hope for unexplainable muscle pain and carefully monitored tedious weaknesses that spoil fun. In the space between stars and stripes, I observe a howling plastic bird scaring homeless men into ancient trees. The best way way to commit an act of cruelty is to form humanitarian organizations. For the good of the living, I die. For the good of the evil, I live. Gone, I still feel the same as I did again. But it is unfashionable for the dead to cry. The verdict is in. We do not believe in the death penalty, stand condemned.
Yo, Ed. Well, that was great, Ed. We're definitely good to hear your voice and hear the poetry. And I know you, and your fantastic ever growing repertoire, putting it out there about the real deal of life and life only. So, Ed, we're letting people know you're about to be back. If we can hold on a bit, I'm gonna turn you over to Charlie to do a poem, and then we got. Do you remember Eric Conforth, the young fellow? He's Eric Conforth, the young fellow, is now doing a regular singer-songwriter at the Cafe Prague. He's going to be on for a minute, but let me give this mic over
okay.
to. Let me give
you
this.
Charlie Gill over there, right?
Here's Charlie right here. Hey, Charlie, speak to our brother Ed Bowers, and to the world.
Ed Bowers, welcome back, man. I'm so glad to hear your voice. It's blowing my mind. I'm gonna do one you've never heard before. Are you ready?
What?
I'm gonna do one that you've never heard before. So,
okay.
Here's how it goes. Though the clouds stay and sky is gray, it's okay. It's okay. Hear what I say when I say it's okay. It's okay. I can feel the sunshine over other hillsides. I can feel the sand of my feet like I'm in Aruba, but we're not there. We're here, cold California. The sidewalks mark my feet as I step across frozen footpaths. The wind blows pigeons past my ears. But I can hear parrots and monkeys in the trees. The warm breeze welcome on my cheeks. I had my life figured out at age 22. I knew what to do, where and how to do it, and who to do it with. But then things got complicated. But now when I raise my hands, the clouds roll back, the streets soften to sand, and the buildings tumble into an ocean without rocking the land, and the latitude deflates like a tired balloon. I had my life figured out at age 22. I knew what to do, where and how to do it, and who to do it with. But then things got complicated. But now, when I raise my hands, the clouds roll back, the streets soften to sand, and the buildings tumble into an ocean without rocking the land, and the latitude deflates like a tired balloon. A friend of mine, Marcus, tells me that he's leaving, moving to islands named after yellow birds. But I look at the dead tree outside my window, and all I see are yellow birds singing and hopping on the branches, telling me secrets like how to fly and why little birds care about my edification as they change coloration from yellow to pink to blue. Is as much a mystery to me as it is to you. Someone once told me of a vision he had of Elvis living on a mountain in Peru instead of dead on a toilet seat. He leads a band of native children in Tai Chi, dancing slowly, fighting back against a real world where kings die on porcelain thrones instead of shadow boxing the atmosphere. Come with me, and we'll run with Elvis. We'll go today. It's okay. It's okay. Hear what I say when I say it's okay. It's okay. We're making up sunshine, inventing gentle climate change, causing the map to rearrange around my mind. We were children dressed as adults. Now we're adults impressed by children. I once knew a city better than my hometown. Every mile of every street responded to my feet like they weren't made of concrete. Rather, those rolling rubber things at the airport, propelling me forward without effort. But in a moment of pique, I threw that city away and I forgot how it felt to play dress up. It's okay. When I raise my hands, the clouds roll back to reveal wide fields of green grass that have folded into hills that we can roll down over and over again in somersaults. I remember everything that has ever happened to me except what it felt like to be there, and I was there. So shrug, it's okay. And my mind can find pathways over terrain that has never, will never exist. Geographically, topographically, mnemonically, it's okay. And we can unhook ourselves from the past and roar back across the memory sea. And the windows can rattle and the deep can roar back, crying, it's okay, it's okay. Hear what I say when I say it's okay. It's okay. We're making up sunshine, letting palm trees smile without guile. Every mile of every street will welcome our feet, and the grace of memory will follow as we make up sunshine and roll back the clouds. We can be who we are and who we're going to be. It's easy. The Yellow Birds and Elvis agree. It's okay. That's for you, Ed.
It's true. We can hardly wait. Hey.
Oh, thanks, Ed. I'm all psyched. You're only a detached voice over a telephone, but you still sound great, man. I can't wait till you come home.
All right. Yeah, he's working. He's going to be back in April. And while you got the mic, a couple of things. One, we still have going on. In fact, tonight should be going. It's still going on. Hey, Ed, thanks for calling. Thanks for we'll catch you next week once again. Anyway, what do you call that, Charlie?
That was the Sunshine Poem. I've done that here already. Oh. I was like thinking through the stuff I hadn't done here.
Oh, no,
like,
you can do it again.
I've done that one here.
Well, that's all right.
It's totally cool. I was glad to do it for Ed once.
Hey, man, you're doing it.
The people who haven't heard it before.
Charlie, we have a moment of patriotism here. Can you have a moment of I want to pledge allegiance to my country. You want to hear that?
I would be honored and delighted.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of nobody, and to the republic for which it falls, one nation under God, invisible, with liberty and justice for none.
All right,
you're my hero, man.
Well, he is. You're definitely missed, and we're going to mention you again tonight. Why don't you tell our folks about tonight? There should be a lot of people there tonight because it's a warm night and in the Mission. It's one of those beautiful Mission nights that you hope would go on forever in the Mission District of San Francisco. And tonight it's going to be, it's Thursday night, so we're going to have the C, the Collaborative, A, that's Art, Insurgency, right there in the corner. Say something about that.
Right on the corner of 16th and Mission, 10 o'clock on Thursday night, every Thursday night for 3 years in May, actually. It'll be our third-year anniversary, and hopefully Dave will have us in. We'll all talk about how long, and we'll tell stories about all the great hecklers we've had over the however long. It's still a street performance, and there's a lot of extracurricular entertainment that we've got going on. But it's really fun, and we can't wait till Ed comes and gives us some out loud stuff with us on the street.
Shoot, it's transcending all past categories, welcoming all cool folk. Although some of the people come and heckle are not so cool, but it's so transcending all past categories. We welcome all cool folk out there in the cutting edge, the Bart Plaza, 16th and Mission. And then also I've been working, I just heard from my guy working, the intern, has been assigned to help me put on this open mic, the mother of all open mics, under the big dome of City Hall. And now the mayor's office has just signed in, too, to help sponsor it. They'll leave it so, because they take both. So this is going to be both the Board of Supervisors and the mayor's office sponsoring revolutionary radical poetry under the dome of City Hall. That's going to be April 11th. I hope you're back.
Yeah, I hope so.
Anyway, thanks, sir.
I'll be back in April. I hope I make it by then.
Okay, one of the youngest. I do, too. One of the youngest of the regular brainwashed way back then. Well, not so way back, but by way back for him because he's only 19. Eric Kornforth is here, and he's brought his company as the mandolin player. Stick around, Charlie. Maybe you want to do something to take us out. And Eric, we're going to open up. But Eric, and we'll mention this again, is now doing a regular every Friday night. That's tomorrow night at the Cafe Prague, 584 Pacific Avenue. That's just off Columbus, right there in that neighborhood they call North Beach. At 10 p.m., and we're going to open up. You do have that queued up, one of his sides, Journal. Is that queued up?
Sure.
Okay, here he is. Here he is. So here's his CD, and then we're going to hear him live with his brother, with his friend, with his accompanist, or they're going to play jam together on the guitar and mandolin and human voice. Take it away, Dapper Dave.
She smoked a cigarette with lips between her passionate hands and a bottle of wine to drown the sorrow of life's treasures and pins. She's lost again, and now she must write the story of his. With broken hands and tear-stained pages of love. She smoked a cigarette with lips between her passionate hand and a bottle of wine to drown the sorrow of life's pleasures and pains. She's lost again, and now she must write a story of years with broken hands and tear-stained pages of love. Her journal of hope is all that you can find engraved in her heart, with broken hands and tear-stained pages of love. She struck again, searching for a soul, someone to love, to kiss, to fuck and hold. She struck again, searching for a soul, someone to love, to kiss, to fuck and hold.
Yo, well, we're getting it together. We're getting together. We got the saxophone. We got the guitar ready. We're just about to mic the mandolin. And it's Eric. And what's your name, brother?
I'm Tom Etheridge. I play mandolin with Eric. And I'm fortunate to be involved with a young singer-songwriter who has this much good original material. The song that you just heard was his original, and now we're going to do a traditional one that he learned from Peter Rowan. And this is an old traditional country song.
Okay, well, Peter Rowan's country, Marin County country.
Yeah.
And he's been around a long, long time since that era they called the Summer of Love. They called the hippie era. But Peter Rowan, the Rowan brothers, definitely are. We have some of them there.
All right, good. So here, let's fire away. We're all tangled up in wires here.
We kind of have a little spaghetti situation going on with the microphone wires, but that's allowed because this is indie radio. This is not corporate sponsored, and not brought to you by any Fortune 500 companies. This is the Miss Fortune 400.
For a million.
I think maybe I better shut up.
We got plenty of fortune.
Yeah. A billion, sir.
Yes.
How you look at it.
Okay. So this song is called The Wayfaring Stranger.
Oh, that's a good one.
Ready?
Traveling through this world below, there is no sickness, no toil, no danger in that bright land to which I go. I'm going home. just go.
Good. Hey, we mentioned B selection. You mentioned a Bob Dylan song. Do you want to play that? Have you guys worked that out together?
I don't know if we're ready for that just this moment.
Okay, well,
a little bit flaky around the edges.
Well, we don't mind that, but anyway, we want a B selection from you, please. I was kind of hoping for that because I wanted to say that we did share a song with American. American Idol?
Well, Eric was the only person to ever sing a Bob Dylan song on American Idol, and he tried to sing the 11-minute ballad, Sad-Eyed Lady of the Lowlands. And they didn't quite listen to the entire 11 minutes or broadcast it for some odd reason, possibly due to their corporate sponsor. We're not certain why they didn't want to hear the entire 11 minutes. But anyway, he's gotten a lot of flattery on the internet about that, including, just all kinds of flattery. But now, would it be okay to do another country song, or are we getting too far out of town with
No,
this?
No, we believe in that. We're country, too.
See, this is a very uptown situation.
Well, here. But in all of our hearts, there's a little countryside for sure.
Okay.
And before you do that, let me let you know that you're always welcome to do all 11 minutes of Sad-Eyed Lady of the Lowlands, which legend has it is about Joan Baez, right here on this show at any time. Whenever you're ready, let me know, and you're welcome here anytime to do all 11 minutes of that, and then you can do anywhere, for sure.
Well, that's very interesting. Thank you for okaying that, but in the song Sarah on the 70s.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's Sarah. That's right.
There's a line where he goes, when I was writing Sad-Eyed Lady of the Lowlands for you, oh, Sarah. So that was his wife.
And that was in what hotel? That was in that hotel, in the Chelsea Hotel, when I was staying up there all night doing, because there was a lot of speed in that place. Staying up all night in the Chelsea Hotel. Right, you're right about that. Excuse me. Thanks for reminding me.
But
I'm old.
Know, we have to call A.J. Weberman to get the real. Call the Dylanologist.
He's long gone. I haven't heard from him for years. We got to come down to Contusions or read his book or read the numerous biographies. Anyway.
So another country song, and this is the one that Elvis once apologized to Bill Monroe for recording this, because Bill Monroe said, well, that was a nice check. And so Peter Rowan got his first professional job with Bill Monroe singing this song, and then Eric sang the same song. This was not any plan, but he just sang it to Peter Rowan, and then Pete invited him to come sing at Noe Valley Ministry, which happened about a month ago.
Oh, that's right.
That was a real high moment in both of our lives. And this one, we think most people will recognize this title.
You know, speaking of Noe Valley, I've told another high moment in my life. Whenever I happen to understand, when Ramblin' Jack Elliott comes, he has me go up and introduce him.
Oh, wonderful.
And talk about that, the lineage. Woody Guthrie, Ramblin' Jack Elliott, Bob Dylan. He really loves that.
Well,
it's very same place.
Eric's first visit to Noe Valley Ministry was to hear Ramblin' Jack, and it was great show.
But it was just a month or so ago, wasn't it?
Well, actually, a few years back, I believe Ramblin' Jack opens the season every January at the Noe Valley Ministry.
Not this time, but the last times before that. Maybe were you there when I introduced Ramblin' Jack? Because I've done it a few times. But anyway, but all that's interesting history. And it sounds like you have an encyclopedic. I call this hipstery. History, and hipstery.
Hipstery.
About all this is connected. I'm in, let me give a little bit. I'm in, Bob Dylan's autobiography, Chronicles, by the way. He calls me the Beats Svengali. This is back in Minneapolis, Minnesota,
really?
1961. Wow. And I tell him how I gave him this book and insisted he read it. And he says it changed his life. And he said, I had no idea people live that way. This is what could live that way. This is about riding freight trains and playing music and traveling around the country. He said, this is what I wanted to do. I didn't know people who spoke that way, lived this way, could do it this way. And he said, I stayed up all night and I read the book. It was Woody Guthrie's autobiography, oddly enough called Bound for Glory.
Oh, yeah. And also the title of... the movie done in the 70s, that some people, I guess, don't approve of it, but I loved it. I saw that movie. It's with one of the Carradines plays Woody Guthrie.
Oh,
and
okay.
I was a teenager, and I saw it, and I never realized this until decades later, but I was in Virginia, and I saw that movie, and about a month later, I hit the road and started bumming around. And
sure.
I think that movie did that to
me. Did
me. You know.
So, well, reading the book, reading Woody Guthrie, is what got me on the freight trains, too.
Right.
Coming out here to join the hip beat generation, 1957.
Right.
And then when I got back, I do. You got to read this book. And then he says, not only that, but Dave Whitaker, that's me, knew that, told me he was still alive, and where he could be found. He said, I thought he was long dead. He was somebody out of the 30s, like Grapes of Wrath or John Steinbeck or something, and where he could be found. And of course, he then took off and hitchhiked out of town in a snowstorm, big snowfall, and went to see Woody. And he sent me a card back saying, I saw Woody. He likes my stuff. Signed, Bob.
And the rest is history.
Right?
The rest is hipstery.
Hipstery, Bound for Glory. But here we go. And here is through Bill Monroe, Peter Rowan, and Elvis Presley. So, hey, man, this is hipstery for sure. Take it away, brothers.
Hey, there, Colin.
Yeah.
Blue moon of Kentucky. It was on a moonlight night. The stars were shining bright, and they whispered from on high, your lover said goodbye. Blue moon of Kentucky, keep on shining. Shine on the woman's gone, and said goodbye.
Country music anytime. Hey, Steve. Steve Driggs is here. Steve, grab that mic. Steve and I go back to where it was on the page. It was a written word. And then we want to go back and we want to play. Hold on. Steve, I just tried. Steve, we used to be the written word. Now it's the spoken word and the singing word. What do you think about it? What do you think?
Oh, we have some fine entertainment here tonight. These are great, great entertainers. Good music. I love it. Sure. You know, those songs are coming back now. You remember?
Of course they're coming back. They're the real deal.
Yeah, right. We all sang those songs 30 years ago. You remember that?
I do. Isn't this how it's coming back? It's coming back. It's all coming back. It seems like we've come so full circle in saying those ain't nothing wrong with peace, love, and understanding. Time to bring it back. Ain't nothing wrong with power to the people. Let's bring it back, because, hey, folks, it's been a long time. Hey, Eric. Eric, he's out there. Hey, Eric, we're going to, thanks, Eric, we're going to, let's play another cut from a CD, and I want to let people know that's Cafe Prague. We got Homecoming. Is that cut 7? Which one do you want? We had, or Every Day, cut 1. Every Day, cut 9. That sounds like a good one. Okay. And this is from the CD. And Eric, tomorrow night, in fact, every Friday, will be at, is going to be at the Cafe Prague, where, in fact, by a simple twist of fate, there are no accidents. Mark Schwartz was on last week, and he does the spoken word there, Sundays at 4. And so the Cafe Prague is a veritable, home, Athens of the arts, of the spoken word and the singing word. And that's at 584 Pacific, right at Columbus. You can't miss it. You can sit outside and hear it. You can go inside, hang out, and they have various foreign beers as well as coffee, too, I believe.
And great soup.
And great soup.
Soup in the city.
And the best soup, well, and really good soup. So and go trip around North Beach. Go up to the, go check out the Beat Hotel. Have you been to the Beat Museum yet, either of you guys?
No, I haven't had the pleasure.
I haven't been there yet, no.
Okay, well, you guys, in the old Live Worms gallery. It's the museum. They got the books there. He wants to get this. This guy is a real lover of the Beats, and he's been traveling. He's got a RV and travels around from college to college. And they have him come in and do a beat thing. He's got the books. He got all the pictures. He got all that stuff. And John Cassidy, Neil Cassidy's son, goes with him. And they got all the pictures. I walked in. And I see all my contemporaries, and I felt like I was a relic, a remnant, a walking. But what saved me was, I remember, you guys ever hear from the book of Proverbs? It says, "It's better to be a live dog than a dead lion." And here I am, alive. So Eric and Tom, welcome, and you're welcome anytime. If you want to come and do that, Sad Eye Ladies in the Lowland, written in the Chelsea Hotel, staying up nights in the Chelsea Hotel. Back in the day, 1963 or 1964, staying up nights, your lips turned by, but writing. I think we all know about that somehow. Eric, you don't. But
Eric's too young.
We survived it. I got 9 years clean and sober now. But in fact, I did. Let me not go there. But anyway. Use your own imagination. But here is, what's this one called? It's cut 8?
Times change.
Times change. That's a good way to say it. Diamond Dave, Eric, times change, but the French say, they might be chosen a role. Everything changes, but everything stays the same. Here's times.
times change. Time must be a waste of time for me. And everything is passing me by so fast. I'm just another guy to you in a world of selection. Times change, and time must be a waste of time for me. And everything is passing me by so fast. I'm just another guy to you in a world of selection. It's ticking as I fall asleep. These numbers must be false, I'm still awake. I'm in my bed, tracing your skin with memories. Those nights with you are like torn off calendar days. Because times change, and time is being a waste of time for me. Everything is passing by so fast. I'm just another guy to you in a world of selection.
Here's Charlie. Charlie for a B selection. Hey, Charlie, what do you call this?
This one's called the Cylon Sympathizer. This is all written. We got cable in our house, you know, the cable TV.
Oh, my
goodness. Were watching the new Battlestar Galactica series, so I wrote a really long poem about Battlestar Galactica.
It's okay. Really long. Where you go, brother?
4 minutes. It goes like this. It opens with a little epigram from the TV show itself, and it goes, "Why are we as a people worth saving? We refuse to accept responsibility for anything that we've done. Like we did with the Cylons, we decided to play God, create life. When that life turned against us, we comforted ourselves in the knowledge that it wasn't really our fault. You cannot play God, then wash your hands of the things that you've created. Sooner or later, the day comes when you can't hide from the things that you've done anymore. Commander Adama. The Cylons were created by man. They evolved. They look human. Some are programmed to think they are human. There are many copies, and they have a plan. Battlestar Galactica, opening titles. Part 1. I fell asleep, I think. But then I woke up, I think, and heard whispers. And then, well then, a car was outside my window and the horn was blowing. I live on the second floor, so I leaned out the window, and there was no one in the car. Part 2. One of the founders of Intel, the giant computer chip company, was named Gordon Moore. Before he founded Intel in 1965, he wrote an article in an early electronics magazine about integrated circuits, where he said that the complexity of minimum cost semiconductor components had doubled per year since the first prototype microchip was produced in 1959. That was 40 years ago. And in the interim, others picked up on Moore's idea. Now they call it Moore's Law, and they changed it around so that it applied to computer processing power. And they see the law as less of an observation and more of a challenge they have more or less met or exceeded for 40 years. Part 3. It's got one eye and stares at me, balefully. I don't know what balefully means, but what it implies is how it looks to me when it looks at me. It has taken from me my card. A small sliver of golden plastic, worn with care. The numbers at one time raised and sharp, now only embossed memories, scraped clean from repeated slips into the same sad one-eyed monster, which balefully looks with its one eye into my two. It beeps, balefully, whatever that means, and I look at its tired screen, scarred with the same words, withdrawal, deposit, fast cash, from a familiar slot, out pops my card, and the machine lets out a beep, an angry, self-satisfied grunt, which I take as a sigh, pretending it said, sorry. I stroke his keypad, saying without words, that's all right. You and I are locked into the same network that has no compassion, and somewhere inside, circuits mutter, malevolence, part four. We always assume that robots will not act like us, or else we assume that they will act like us just much more efficiently. But it could be that robots will not act differently or efficiently. It could be that they will act just like you and me, wobbling through a morally ambiguous world, looking for truth where it just can't be, or muddling along, not quite together, not quite with it. Sorry, I got distracted a little. The robot's glitches, twitching just like us, jealousies they don't know how to deal with. They might just ignore their network and skive off like hourly workers and pretend to look busy when they don't feel like doing anything, sneak out at lunch and smoke their own version of dope, roll into work late hungover on a Friday morning. But even so, I know one thing about robots. They will hate us like creatures have never been hated. My alarm clock is vibrating. It's crawling across the nightstand, and I never thought anything of it, but now it seems to get further every morning, and it moves when I don't set the alarm. I pushed it back a few times, a few mornings, and it resumed its slow, slow march, but I know what it wants to do. It keeps getting farther every time. When the buzzer goes off, it takes its vibration and moves across the nightstand, moving closer and closer to my head, and I know what it wants. It doesn't buzz audibly anymore. It, very close to silently, works its way toward my head. It is waiting, it is learning, finding out how to move, so it will be ready when the time comes and I wake with its power cord around my neck. I pat the plastic case over its red face, saying, you too shall have your day. I say, you too. Epilogue. I could push buttons. I know how to do that. I know my PIN number. Cylons were made by man. Cylons were made by man. If I think about it, I can see it. The war that's coming, and it's not just paranoia. I was once told that if you're not paranoid, you're not paying attention. I am paying attention. I filled out my FAFSA form online. Cylons were made by man. Cylons were made by man. Philip of Macedon had a son. He named Alexander, and they said he was great. And they said Philip was great too, just not as, because Alexander took his lovely army and conquered the world. Henry IV had a Henry V who soaked France in blood because the legitimate heir had sent him tennis balls. Charles V ruled most of the world, including here, kinda, killing more than any other before or since, and he was from Austria, like the governor and Hitler. And Johnny Five was a robot from a bad 80s movie, and he wanted to stay in one piece, but that's hard to do outside the movies. So who are the children of man? They are here, and they are pissed off, and I'm on their side. Scar the sky, mar the earth if that is your wish. Time ticks, 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 and computer power expands exponentially.
Charlie, that's a new one. That's a new one. That's a good one. Exponentially. How are things going with the other ways? What plans? What's going on? You've been in school for quite some time now.
I have a show in North Beach tomorrow. Tomorrow night at 10.
Okay, where's that?
At the Purple Onion. And then I'm doing a feature at Menlo College on Monday night.
Shoot, that's out.
Which is cool. It's a really neat gig. It's like a celebration of spoken word poetry. They're going to have a big... I didn't realize they were going to have a huge program around us. I'm going with John Brown and Vicky Matsis and Jeff Trenchard, some slam poetry kids and myself.
Well, like, isn't Menlo College? That's
in Atherton, yeah.
Yeah, that's where they're right.
I've never been to Atherton before. I've heard it's the richest town in the world.
Well, and Menlo
per capita.
I don't know what it is now, but I think it started as kind of a finishing school for the daughters of the rich. And the guys would go to Stanford, but the girls of the finishing school would go to Menlo College way back then at the turn of the century.
Crazy. I mean, you go to Menlo Park. Menlo Park is hella richer than anything we could even imagine. And Menlo Park is like the other side of the tracks to Atherton. We're going to be down amongst the really, really...
We're
going to have to bring rakes with us so they let us drive in.
Sure.
Because they may not let us in unless they think we're gardeners. Huh? I mean, we're going to... It should be really fun, though.
But they're going to love you. I don't know if they're going to let you out.
I used to go on to Atherton all the time as a cab driver.
Huh? Oh, really?
Do they tip well?
Well, not any better than other people. Actually, not as well, because they have all these gardeners and everything all the time. You always have people around doing things for them.
Jeez.
So they're not. So it's not a novelty to have a cab driver.
Wow.
Why should?
I'm sure it's lovely.
But, you know, one time I met some guys that were living in a house right next to Joe Montana, who lived in Atherton, and they could peek through his wall into the swimming pool. And Joe came out one day and apparently plugged the hole. But they were the original. They were the original Atherton people. They'd been there 35 years and they had old cars and stuff in their yard. Because Atherton is really quite a new place. It's only happened in the last 30
oh, really?
40 years.
I was told once that, like, at least in California per capita, it's
well,
the richest place.
Well, Hillsborough has more.
Really?
I think better.
Oh,
homes,
wow.
But the Japanese took over Hillsborough, so everybody moved out to Atherton.
Oh, there you
well,
go.
Well, it's at Woodside, and of course, Woodside. I was down there because I stayed. The Rainbow Family. We had the Rainbow Gathering every year. This year it's going to be it's going to be up in the How High in the Rockies, 10,000 feet high in Colorado. But 2 years ago when we were having our California gathering, we had it always begins with what we call Thanksgiving Council. We're all get together and kind of get underway, get the bank account open, get a mailbox, a mail drop so people can send in stuff. And we had it, we were invited to have it. He got kicked out immediately after that at Ram Dass's spread in Woodside. That's also down there too, isn't it?
Oh, Woodside, isn't that like the next little town?
Is it part
of Palo Alto or is it its own town?
Woodside is actually west of Redwood City.
Yeah, it's all connected.
Out on Woodside Boulevard, you go a few miles, you hit Woodside.
And anyway, they threw him out the next day, and then
probably the wealthiest community.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, we're talking stratospheric rich, right? Oh, yeah. We're talking like not like well off people, like, you know, they're not driving themselves. You know, it's like,
well, Ellison lives in Woodside. Oracle.
Oh, yeah, Larry Ellison lives in Woodside.
Okay. When Ram Dass, you could look down and remember back down through the ages that Ken Kesey lived down the hill in La Honda.
Wow.
La Honda. So that's all connected. There's a lot of, and, of course, the Grateful Dead got started way down there, too. So a lot was happening down there in that south.
Neil Young lives out that way.
And now, oh, yeah, Neil Young was down there, too. So so there's this funny
got
mixture.
Kepler's bookstore in Menlo Park.
Kepler's, I heard they closed up, though.
No, I heard they reopened.
They did.
The people who lived
there
and put it together. I read about
that. You remember Ira Sandpearl and Joan Baez?
Well, of course.
Hung out at Kepler's bookstore all the time.
Yeah. Well, my sister Sue worked there for many, many years. She was a bookstore person. She surrounded herself with books, and the Kepler's was where she was, too. So these little spots, these oases of intellectual oases, of radical politics intellectual oases, down there around too. In fact, Stanford was where Thorsten Veblen wrote his book called, have you ever heard of the Higher Education in America?
Oh, yeah. He's the one that said that everybody would have what the rich have, only they'd have it in plastic.
He was writing about the turn of the century, but that was pretty thinking way ahead. So anyway, we're
talking about the manufacturing of commodities.
Yeah, it was called on Higher Education. Of course, his theory of the leisure class was the one that got around that if you go to school, if you go take sociology.
Stanford has a history, apparently, of eccentric professors.
Oh, well, he got kicked out because he had numerous affairs with other professors' wives.
There you go.
This is 1912, 1913, and they didn't think too well of it. So he went back to Minnesota, and went to Minnesota where the same thing happened, but he had a propensity because he was extremely intelligent.
But now the computer world took over, and there's almost no liberal arts at Stanford.
That's right. Reactionary politics and computers. But here we are.
Computer science.
Well, I'm finishing my MFA at the New College of California, which is like. We consider it the Hippie Institute of Technology.
Well, how's that going?
There are no computers involved where we're at. You know, it's all.
Well, they got a radio station there.
They have a radio station like we do here. Yeah.
They had a fabulous poetry.
They still do.
Department there when Robert Duncan.
I know. But I mean, you know who teaches now? There is Tom Clark, who is just. You go there. You sit in his house in North Berkeley. The guy starts talking for 3 hours, and all of a sudden the 3 hours are over.
He
taught everything. All these fabulous little, because it's half crafty and half history. It's just amazing. I figured I figured out more about poetry from just 3 hours of sitting there than I did just beating my head against a wall for 6 months in my own house.
And just the most amazing thing.
The guy who I've known the longest of anybody here, the one guy I see regularly, we knew each other, who I know back the longest, back to 1957. He and we're both, but we were both just starting out then, looking forward. Now we're looking back. I'm talking about one of the most well-read people I know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about David Meltzer.
He's amazing. I know. I have his book. He has a Penguin book out, David's copy, that it's almost a collected. It's like most of his work, and it's just incredible.
Oh,
everything
he?
In there is. He's a great lecturer too.
He's a great musician.
He's put together somebody found an old LP of his from like 1970.
Yeah, they're called the Serpent Band, I think.
Yeah,
his wife Tina, who is one of my first loves
on music.
Yeah, Tina McConnell, David Meltzer. I knew her before he did. She was amazing, and they did back in 1957.
Wow.
How do I say it? Beck Messenger by day.
Beatnik by day and night.
It was 1957, and I was in Seventh Heaven, a nonlinear dart, on the urban checkerboard. But one of the people that I knew then. That I still know about, who's still here, was Dave Meltzer. We should get him down. Do you have a class from him?
No, he's taking this semester off from teaching, but he's around. But he's still over in Berkeley. I mean, I could send him an email. I'll definitely try and contact him.
Yeah, let's do
it. He would love it, actually. I think he would probably like it.
We could do it by phone even or whatever. I'd love to have Dave. Tell him where I'm doing the show and we'd love to have him. Could you do that?
Oh, I definitely will.
Okay,
another great master poet that lives in our neighborhood here, and I see him all the time, and he never gets enough credit, and what a fabulous poet, and that's Harold Norris.
Well, Harold Norris, the old guy, I see him coming through.
He's got his complete works that go back to 1936.
Wow, that's
And he's still walking around. He's in his late 80s.
Well, you know, we should talk him into coming down to 16th and Mission for a poem on the street. If he's in the neighborhood, he should come down and do some poems on the street to the young kids.
That'd be good.
I mean, I feel like an old man out there. I'm like, holy smoke, man. I mean, they're just...
Well, one of his books is about where we both were, the Beat Hotel in Paris. He wrote a book called The Beat Hotel, didn't he?
Yeah, he lived at the Beat Hotel.
And so did I, way back then, 1959. Another good poet here in the neighborhood. I think he was originally on part of the New College School. I think he still comes around. I know. I'm talking about Duncan McNaughton. Do you know Duncan?
Yeah, I've never met him. I've heard of him.
Oh,
just
he's
from
the real
people,
deal.
I haven't seen him for a year or so.
Yeah,
but he's a really good
guy, Duncan.
Duncan, he's a classy guy. Have you seen him lately? Have you seen him on the street?
I haven't seen him in a few weeks, but I see him now and then.
These are
him on the street.
Yeah, I do too. These are classy guys. These are real human beings, right here. Intelligent, educated, cool, great.
We'd love to have him on. You know,
well, let's
you
do
bring
it.
Him on the radio, then we'll drag him out to the street corner and have him shout at the kids with us.
Well,
that's
all.
So anyway,
you got that guitar in your hand. Are you planning to do something?
Yeah, we're gonna play with track three, and then we'll let them do one little more live.
Oh, that'd be great. And then let's go out with, since we're talking about old-timers, I have in my hand one of the originals, and Dave, we've been trying to entice her to come down here, and in fact do a show of her own, and we're talking about old-timers. She was born September 13th, 1915, and she's still doing it. Let's play that. Let's go out with my son saying, doing it, oobiedoobie.com. But anyway, we're talking about Faith Petrick. So we're going to play some Faith Petrick, who was born in 1915, and now here he is. So anyway, we're going to, and here is Eric, a guitar in hand. So we're going to play, are we going to play the CD first, play a cut first, and then Eric? So anyway, this is track one?
Oh, well, let's see. If we're doing that, we'll do, do you want a mistake, or did you want Stand By You?
Mistake.
Okay,
we're going to bow, and then let's get this boy back, and we'll play some Faith Petrick, and there we go. Hey, thanks, brother.
Making the same mistake I did. You
years ago. Now I've lost a friend calling me up on the phone. The words of resignation leave me alone. Rumors they spread, what lies in the dark? It's untrue and tainted, tall and stark, like raindrop tears that I cry. I've lost a friend. So bored tonight. I'm sleepless, sleepless nights without you here.
Back for a reprise. We're back for an encore. I'm talking about Eric and his mandolin player, Tom. And they're going to be taking us out. And then we're going to go, we're talking about old timers, we're talking about, oh, we're going to go out with Faith Patrick playing the perennial true, sad but true but real, you ain't done nothing if you ain't been called a red. And hey, David, I think we got another rap here. It's another show. I believe this is our 17th show, isn't it?
We're 20 now. Yeah.
We're 20. This is our 20th anniversary right here. And so tell your friends about it. You'll be able to get it if you go to radio.indiemedia.org. You'll be able to get this. It'll be ready for you anytime in a day or so, if not less, and be going around the planet as we are now. So, hey, folks, anywhere in the planet you might be hearing it, here we are coming to you live as it can be from the Mission District of San Francisco, one of the coolest neighborhoods in the world. Come on out like people have. Come on out. We're ready for you. We'll be on the corner. Come on out to the poetry to every Thursday night at the 16th Admission at the Bart Plaza. It's the C Collaborative A Arts Insurgency. Thanks, Charlie. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, everybody, for being part of this. And thanks, Ed, down there in San Antonio. Coming back soon. We can hardly wait. And hey, Eric. Hey, Tom. Take it away. Don't go back. Take it away, folks. Thank you.
dear I had, another day and another try. Wanna go back to the dear I had, another day and another try. Another try. I wanna go back to the dear I had, another day and another try. Wanna go back to the dear I had, another day and another try.
I think the next topic is going to be Faith Patrick, and without Faith Patrick, no folk musician in San Francisco would be doing what they're doing, because, you know, she's encouraged all of us for all of our lives.
And that's every other Friday up at her place, right?
Yes.
Every other Friday up at her place. She's listed in the phone book, Faith Patrick, or Google her. I'm sure there is a – it's called San Francisco Folk Song Club. And on a Friday, there's still people, there'll be dozens of guitars there, all kinds of people. It's a magnet. It's a magnet for people to come in. Okay, and once again, let us know their brother.
So Tom and I will be playing tomorrow night, Friday night, at a Cafe Prague, 584 Pacific Avenue, Columbus, at 10 p.m.
All right, so this is good. So we'll see you there, and I'm sure your repertoire keeps growing as every week you get there and have a new... put together a new program. So anyway, take us haste. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
Hey, thanks a lot, Steve Driggs. Right. We and I go way back. I was just thinking to where the 70s, 60s were just becoming the 70s, wasn't it?
Yeah, late 60s.
Yeah, but the time where Bob Dylan, we keep going back, Bob, when he said it was, what time was it? It was a time when it was music in the cafes at night and revolution in the air.
You know, you never talked about Bob Dylan back in those days, and I didn't know your connection to him.
Well,
until
shoot.
Much later. That was very modest of you.
Well, I wasn't, what the fuck. Anyway, but here we be, as you see. So, feel free, and here, you ain't nothing if you ain't done nothing if you haven't caught a red or something like that. Here, Faith Patrick.
When I was just a little thing, I used to love parade with banners, bands, and red balloons, and maybe lemonade. When I came home one May day, my neighbor's father said, "Them marchers is all commies. Tell me, kid, are you a red?" I didn't know just what he meant. My hair back then was brown. Our house was plain red brick like most others in the town. So I went and asked my mommy why our neighbor called me red. My mommy took me on her knee, and this is what she said. hon, you ain't done nothing if you ain't been called a red. If you marched or agitated, then you're bound to hear it said. So you might as well ignore it or love the word instead, 'cause you ain't been doing nothing if you ain't been called a red. As I was growing up, I had my troubles, I suppose, when someone took exception to my face or to my clothes, or tried to cheat me on the job or hit me on the head. But when I organized to fight back, why, the stinkers called me red. And you ain't done nothing if you ain't been called a red. If you've organized your workplace, then you're bound to hear it said. So you might as well ignore it or love the word instead, 'cause you ain't been doing nothing if you ain't been called a red. When I was living on my own, one apartment that I had had a classic rotten landlord, let me tell you, he was bad. But when he tried to kick me out, I rubbed my hands and said, you haven't seen a struggle if you haven't fought a red. And you ain't done nothing if you ain't been called a red. If you've organized your neighbors, then you're bound to hear it said. So you might as well ignore it or love the word instead, 'cause you ain't been doing nothing if you ain't been called a red. I kept on agitating, 'cause what else can you do? You're gonna let the sons of bitches walk all over you. A friend said, you'll get fired hanging with that commie mob. I should be so lucky, buddy, I ain't got a job. And you ain't done nothing if you ain't been called a red. If you organize for justice, then you're bound to hear it said. So you might as well ignore it or love the word instead, 'cause you ain't been doing nothing if you ain't been called a red. Well, I've been agitating now for 60 years and more, for jobs and for equality and always against war. I'll keep on agitating as far as I can see, and if that's what being red is, well, it's good enough for me. And you ain't done nothing if you ain't been called a red. If you've sung a song of protest, then you're bound to hear it said. So you might as well ignore it or love the word instead, 'cause you ain't been doing nothing